Moncrief on News Talk.
Smell is a powerful way of evoking memory, as you know, and emotional states too. Many shops deliberately use smells, but so too do museums. Tasha Marks is a historian and scent designer. Afternoon, Tasha.
Hi there, how you doing?
Not too bad. So if you're given a project, Tasha, where they want to recreate the smell of something from the medieval period, for instance, is it kind of an educated guess you're making?
Yeah, I mean, it always starts with research. So if I'm working on an exhibition about the medieval era, which I am at the moment for the British Library, about the lives of medieval women, I'll start by chatting to the curators, looking through lots of texts from the period, extracting anything that might be smell related or might have a smell attached to it. And through all that research, I start to build together a sort of olfactory imagining of what it might be.
Mm. And are you imagining what it's like to walk down a street or be in a room, or is your brief that specific?
It can be. It's a nice variety. So sometimes I might be, you know, making the smell of the cesspit for an 11th century castle, and other times I might be recreating a cosmetic recipe, like a recipe for a breath freshener or a hair perfume.
Yeah. Now, a cesspit would have like human waste and animal waste and probably other things as well.
Yeah, not a pleasant smell, that's
no.
For sure.
I dread to ask this question, but how do you actually go about manufacturing that smell?
It's not real or something like that. It will be a synthetic. So there's a lot of sort of bad smells out there in terms of materials you can use for, you know, people use them for theme parks and attractions and things like that. So I will blend together different materials to make that impression of a cesspit. So in the case of Rochester Castle, which is the cesspit in question, it's quite fecal and quite bodily, but there's a bit of food waste smell in there. So it's quite realistic.
Yeah.
But there's nothing real in it, I promise. You're not actually smelling anything that's dangerous.
But is it also, to a degree, because, you know, obviously I'm lighting on the worst possible example of this, but that's from a 21st century point of view. If you were a medieval person, Would you take that as normal? So, you know, what we regard as a bad smell, is that to a degree situational?
Yeah, and I think it is even today. I mean, we you know, good and bad smells, I don't think they're in two different camps. I think sometimes things that people love the smell of, other people will hate. Something like petrol is quite divisive, or, you know, the smells that people like the smell of coffee, that actually maybe people don't even drink coffee, but they love the smell of it. So in terms of good and bad smells, there's a whole variety. And I think we learn associations with smells even now. Mm. So, smells from history will smell very different to us, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily bad. I don't think the past smells bad.
No. I know, but, yeah. But what I mean is that to us, you know, you might go, oh, there's a whiff of something that may or may not be poo. Whereas a medieval person would go, well, that's, you know, pretty normal because we don't have indoor plumbing. Whereas to us, that you know, we'd almost have a strong reaction to that.
Yeah, perhaps, but maybe as bad as any public toilet. but slightly worse.
is it, from a historical point of view, is it possible to replicate everything?
I mean, I think smell is such a great palette to play with. I mean, what we're doing is we're storytelling with the senses. So we're looking at smell as a way to sort of understand and engage with history. So, yeah, the possibilities are really endless.
Right. OK, so but do you have to like fill in the gaps to a certain degree sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, it's all interpretation. We're not necessarily making an authentic reproduction. But, I mean, sometimes you can work with, you know, there's a lot of scientists who are working in this field who can use some really fantastic machinery where we can find out the chemical analysis of the soil of an archaeological dig and things like that.
Wow.
So there are very scientific ways of looking into it. But then also those can be just as inspiring as, you know, trying to recreate what a 15th century chapel smelt like. So there's lots of different ways of approaching it, and it's more how people react to it. That's what you want, is to make that good impression.
And so when you've prepared the smells, how do they distribute that in an exhibition?
So it becomes quite sculptural. So I'm often thinking about the vessels or how I'm going to actually display the scent. I very rarely fill a whole space with smell because I think consent's quite important. You want people to choose to interact with it. So I make scent vessels, and then that way I sort of end up being a bit like a sculptor. I sometimes call myself an artist and sometimes call myself a historian. And in truth, I'm a bit of both. And actually, yes, the display is a big part of that.
Yeah. Oh, so there would be areas where people can go to smell these things if they choose to or not.
Exactly. And they could equally choose not to do it. They can read, oh, that's the smell of the cesspit. I'm not going to do that one, but I do want to smell the chapel.
Yes. You can see why, really.
But then actually, some people, I think malodorous smells, the bad smells, are kind of fascinating, especially younger audiences. Children sort of love those quite stinky smells. We were sort of fascinated by them.
Yeah. Tasha, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Tasha Marks there, scent designer, historian and artist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.